You're listening to the Live, Love, Engage podcast. On today's show, we're going to be talking with a marriage, family, and sex therapist about how you can increase the intimacy between yourself and your partner. Stay tuned. I am Gloria Grace Rand, founder of The Love Method and author of the number one Amazon bestseller, Live, Love, Engage, How to Stop Doubting Yourself and Start Being Yourself. In this podcast, we share practical advice from a spiritual perspective on how to live fully, love deeply, and engage authentically so you can create a life and business with more impact, influence, and income. Welcome to Live, Love, Engage. Namaste and welcome to Live, Love, Engage. I am Gloria Grace Rand. And today I've got a guest with us who is going to be talking about love and sex and the pandemic. she is an expert in all of those things. So I want to welcome to Live, Love, Engage, Dr. Diana Wiley.
Thank you, Gloria. I'm really glad to be with you.
Well, we're glad to have you because this is not a usual topic necessarily that we share, but you know, the podcast is about living fully, loving deeply, and engaging authentically. So it really does fit with all of those things. So let me share with those of you listening and watching on YouTube just who Dr. Diana Wiley is. She is practiced for more than 30 years, actually, as a licensed marriage and family therapist. She's a board-certified sex therapist and a gerontologist. And since 2020, she's actually hosted her own online radio show called Love, Lust, and Laughter on the Progressive Radio Network. And last year, in 2020, she published a book called Love in the Time of Corona, Advice from a Sex Therapist for Couples in Quarantine, which is a, as I understand it, a compendium of your best advice that you've been giving to thousands of couples. So congratulations on getting that out there.
Thank you, Gloria. My radio show, Love, Lust, and Laughter, has actually been on since 2010. I think you said 2020.
Oh, did you? So I apologize.
10 years.
Yes, 2010.
10
yes.
Years. Yeah.
Yes. Congratulations.
And I actually do it now every other Tuesday. So, but it's Progressive Radio Network, and it's, I, as you must enjoy your podcasts, I so much enjoy doing mine. It's actually live the first hour, so it's radio for the first hour, and then it's archived.
Oh, wonderful. And do you have guests on the show as well?
Or? Yeah, every time.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I love. I love actually getting to meet interesting people like yourself. So, yeah. So let's get to this a little bit. And I guess maybe actually share with us why you decided to put together this book, you know, Love in the Time of Corona. What, other than probably, I assume, the obvious reasons, but I guess what was your goal in putting that together last year?
Well, in March of last year, it became quite apparent that we were in serious trouble with the pandemic. And I switched from in-person sessions to Zoom sessions. And I could see that my clients were very upset. And if they had issues, and usually they had issues because they contacted me for therapy, mm-hmm. These seemed to be, the issues seemed to be extra horrible because they were stuck together. Forced togetherness.
Yeah.
So, and I've always wanted to write a book, and I didn't think a pandemic would be the impetus for it, but that's what happened.
I think turned out to be a time of a lot of creativity for a lot of people because you know, we were stuck home and having to look for other outlets. I know I spent a good time working on my book last year as well, but Now, one of the things that you talk about, I guess, and I guess this comes up in the book, is you promote the idea that couples should actually have more sex while they're stuck at home together. And how would that help, especially if maybe there's, you know, tension around the fact that, you know, suddenly your spouse is home, you know, 24/7 instead of going to the office for 8 hours a day?
One of the things that I like to point out to begin with is that it's far more painful. It's much harder to be a sexless couple than it is to do the work. Mm. And when we have good emotional, physical sex, when our emotional intimacy is present and there, we have emotional foreplay, then our physical intimacy is better. Mm. And so I point that out, and I remind them that sex is fun, it's free, and it's the fountain of youth. Mm. But it's great sex is, and I think with all of your spiritual overlays and your work, Gloria, mm-hmm. I think great sex is not about how your body looks or what position it's in, but it's about the emotional, perhaps even spiritual, they're often together, connection mm-hmm. with your partner.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. So, yeah, good sex is helps with anxiety. It helps with your immune system. It helps the couple feel closer. A study showed that couples that had frequent sex, if they had arguments, they got over them faster, but most of them had fewer arguments as a result of having more sex. It's kind of the glue of a relationship, in my opinion.
But how would a couple go about maybe instigating this, I guess, if they're really having trouble communicating? You know, maybe they're at an impasse with each other. How are they going to do, you know, follow this prescription, as it were?
Yes. Well, it begins with having a heartfelt talk. Mm. And, say to each other, I have faith that we can rekindle the passion that we felt in the beginning. And that takes a leap of faith. That's a bit of a risk, but to be optimistic about that. You know, you had what it took to fall in love in the beginning of your relationship. I believe you'll have what it takes to stay together. And the other thing I would say is, really, really listen to each other. Mm. So often couples are not listening well. And I know I'm sure that's part of your work too, mm-hmm. to get people to really listen. And I've helped many people to do this. And the guidelines and the exercises are all in my book, Love in the Time of Corona. Mm. The impasse can often be overcome by doing something like scheduling sex, but that starts with planning your date night at home. And actually, that's the second chapter in my book, Planning Your Date Night at Home. Many people are kind of nervous about what sex should be spontaneous. If it's really good, I'm going to feel the passion kind of erupt in me and I'm going to run towards you. That's a Hollywood myth. And I talk about two different syndromes, DINS, double income, no sex, and TTFS, which is too tired for sex. Mm. And both of those syndromes are very common and of course, they've been exacerbated by the quarantining together. So I talk about, you know, the date night at home, setting the scene, maybe getting takeout food and making it good takeout food, having enough privacy, putting flowers on the table, maybe bring out your good china and so on. But make it a nice scene. And then over dinner, don't talk about your anxiety or your depression mm-hmm. or your children or your work.
Right.
Talk about your relationship and your hopes for the relationship, both the physical intimacy and you have to start with the emotional intimacy. Mm.
Yeah,
so that's one way.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's good. And you mentioned children, because I think that's another aspect that has also been a bit of a wrinkle, shall we say, in this last year as well, because, you know, a lot of parents, you know, are homeschooling kids now. And so there's even more stress with where everybody, again, is underfoot. So have you, do you have any other recommendations for, you know, parents who are in that and being able to really, you know, be able to have some sort of, you know, me time? Because I know when my kids were little, you know, we could actually go out on date night and we would do that. But it's like when you're stuck at home, it's a little harder.
Yes, yes. So it is very hard. If a couple has very young children, they may have to wait till the children are asleep. If they have middle school children and older, it's more challenging. But I think the message needs to be that the couple needs to, the mother and father needs to say to their children, you know, we're your mom and dad, but we're also husband and wife, and we need time together. Mm. And so we're going to have a date night, and that does not include you children. I mean, this means that they're going to be included other times.
Right.
And maybe you put them in front of a movie or something in the television. Mm-hmm. But and if you have enough space in your house, it takes a little more creativity to work it out. Some couples have quarantined with another family. Mm-hmm. So they can put their children over to the other family for the evening. Yeah. So, but there are ways you can get around it. You know, it depends on the motivation. And when I've seen transformations in couples, and that's one reason why I have no plans to retire. And God willing, mm-hmm. I keep my marbles, and so far so good. I'm in my 70s. My husband and I have a very robust sex life. Mm. And I practice what I preach. We practice what I preach. And it makes our marriage so much better. Mm. You know, couples, especially women, older women, often fold up their tents. Mm. And they might need some bioidentical hormone replacement therapy if they can get that. There are lots of things you can do for inhibited desire, but that's very, very common. Mm. So, but it helps a lot. But we need to think about sex not just as intercourse. Mm. I have a whole chapter on that too. Let touch relieve stress. Mm. And so I talk about outer course, which is everything but intercourse. And I have four stages for kind of getting back together. And the first two stages, these are all touch exercises, mm-hmm. also called sensate focus. Don't even involve intercourse, the first two stages. Mm. And I have a 95-year-old friend who has a partner of some 20 years. She's a bit younger, not a lot.
Yeah.
And I sent him a book, and he and his partner immediately did stage one, which is face, hands, and feet. And he said, I wish I'd had your book 70 years ago, because it would have saved me so many years of frustration. He said, I always thought I had to be touched first on my genitals. And he said, that was not true. I loved the feelings of being touched in other parts of my body. Mm. It was very arousing.
Wow. Well, that's an enlightened man. So that's good.
Yeah. He is enlightened.
So appreciate that. What would you say, how would you help someone who is, let's say, one partner, you know, really does get into more of the physical aspects, whereas the other partner wants more of the emotional connection? How do you help some, you know, couples in that instance?
Well, they need to have more emotional foreplay, mm-hmm. the woman. And a lot of women want men to slow down, do more, care more. Mm-hmm. And so you've got to have that talk. And one of the exercises I have toward the end of my book, Love in the Time of Corona, is a sweet nothings exercise. And this can really help So you take turns. I have the couple facing each other, knee to knee, holding hands, making eye contact. And they say, this is what I really love and appreciate about you. And they take about a minute to say all the reasons why they're loving and appreciating their partner.
Yeah.
And then they switch and the other person does it. And then if I'm doing it in my session, I help them process it. If they're doing it alone, and that's usually going to be the case, they should talk about it after and say what it meant to them. I've had men actually cry a couple of different times, cry because they were so happy to hear something positive and appreciative.
Yeah.
And so that can be one way. You've got to break down these barriers, these communication barriers, and start.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because you know, nobody likes to just hear all the complaining about myself, you know, or something like that, and having the partner, focusing on what's wrong with you instead of focusing on what's right with you. So that makes sense.
Yes, it helps. And it also helps that to let your partner know that you are physically and spiritually present.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, you need to be in the moment and mindfulness. And many women in particular multitask when they're being sexual. They're thinking about other things. Women actually have a bigger corpus callosum, which is the connecting tissue between the right and left hemispheres of their brain. And we may have been hardwired like that in our brains because if we have a baby and if we're making love to our husband, we also have to be able to hear the baby cry.
Yeah, that's true.
And well, the baby grows up and the woman's still multitasking. She's thinking about other things because she doesn't really want to be there. So being in the moment, and if you have thoughts that are intrusive, see a stop sign and stop those thoughts and come back to center and come back to what you're experiencing. Or see a conveyor belt kind of going from your brain with all these extraneous thoughts carried away and come back to the present. It really helps.
That's a great idea. I like that. And that's so useful to be able to have, you know, like a concrete specific steps to follow, because I know just in my relationships and things and even in any other type of, you know, thing that we do, if we, you know, it's nice to be able to say, oh, I want to be able to have this or I want to have that, but how do I get there? And so it's good that you're able to help people and give them, you know, some steps to follow.
Well, that's how, you know, I mainly do cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT, and there's lots of research to show that it works. So you've got to change how you think. One of the thoughts that a lot of people think is I'm a bit worthless. And you have to believe that you are deserving of a good, intimate, emotionally, physically relationship. And then you've got to change some behaviors. And we know that a series of baby steps, a series of positive behaviors, you do a lot of those, and then eventually the attitude starts to change. So doing the baby steps is really, really important. One of the things you can do in the beginning to kind of get on the same emotional page is to recall the good times. You know, get out old scrapbooks and look at pictures of yourself when you first fell in love. Listen and dance to music that was popular when you first fell in love. And tell your story to your partner. Sometimes I get my clients to do this, but you don't need a therapist. Well, therapy can be very useful if you're really at an impasse.
Right.
But say, you know, one person says to the other, I want to tell you my story about how I fell in love with you and why I fell in love with you. And you can maybe have a better chance to rediscover yourself in the relationship.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, I can definitely see the benefit of that for sure. You know, one thing I wanted to ask you about, because I mentioned in the introduction, and that's something that maybe not necessarily everybody knows what it is, but I mentioned that you're a gerontologist. So can you talk a little bit about what that is and how that plays into what you do, you know, in your work?
Yes, Gloria, yes. In the early 90s, at that time I was living in Palo Alto, California, and I worked with Dr. Walter Bortz, a geriatrician, so an MD, and we did two different studies on aging and sexuality. And the Palo Alto Senior Center, so this is the early 90s, and it was a very active place. And the turnout for our series on aging and sexuality was great. And for the first time ever, they said they had more men than women turning out for a workshop at the Senior Center. But because Stanford University is in Palo Alto,
right?
There were a lot of women who'd gone back to school. So this is the early 90s. And so they'd gone back to, so they tended to be pretty well-educated people. And they knew that if they could reinvigorate their sex lives or at least get some of it back, that they would have a better relationship. So those studies, and another one was SERS, that's an acronym for Sons in Retirement. We spoke all over the Bay Area for a year and gave these older guys questionnaires, and we did follow-ups on both studies. Anyway, these studies were published in medical journals, and so after that, I got to call myself a gerontologist. And so I've had this specialty in aging and sexuality since the early 90s.
Wonderful.
And
it's certainly still absolutely timely, because as the baby boomers continue to age, I think you're going to have clients for quite a while. So that's good.
I hope so.
As long as you want to, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Tell me a little bit about... So you said you do work with, you work one-on-one with people, or do you ever do any group works or group like?
I don't do groups anymore. Yeah. I did do groups in the mid, early 90s and mid 90s before I moved to Hawaii, I was still in Palo Alto, and two women's sexuality groups, and they'd all had sexual trauma and they weren't having orgasms. So, and then much later I worked at UCLA's Female Sexual Medicine Center. Did some groups there, but mostly not. Mostly I see couples, and then I do see individuals too. And because there is the sense of loneliness is pronounced, and with anxiety and depression, you know, our depression in the United States has increased about 3 times, and the alcohol use is up, way up.
Yeah, definitely.
I do see individuals, and then you know, we talk about how you might even find a partner even in a quarantine, and it mostly involves spending a lot of time, maybe more time with courtship over Zoom before you ever meet in person, and a question that you might ask a single person that you're communicating with is, what does social distancing mean to you?
That's a good question. Yeah.
Because some people may not, if you're being really adamant about, and most people that I know are, they're being very careful. You don't want someone who's going to be very casual and doesn't wear a mask and all of that. So there are things to negotiate. But mostly I see couples.
Yeah. All right. Well, awesome. Well, if someone wants to be able to maybe, number one, get a copy of your book and maybe learn some more about you, where is the best place for them to do that?
Well, I developed since March and since the publication of the book in May, an advice website, and that is DearDrDiana.com. Dear Dr. D-R or spelled out, it doesn't matter, DrDiana.com. And so there you'll see people who have written in questions, so it's an advice thing, but also there are links to my YouTube channel where I have advice about different things coming from my book. And then there's a link to buy the book, which is available on Amazon. So you can go directly to Amazon or DearDrDiana.com.
All right. Awesome. Well, I'll make sure that I have all that information in the show notes. So in case if you're listening somewhere and you don't have a pen handy, you'll be able to get that. So you just have to go to LiveLoveEngagePodcast.com and you'll be able to get that information. So is there anything else? Because I know you've talked about a lot of great stuff and offered a lot of excellent advice. Is there anything else that maybe you haven't covered that I didn't ask you about that you think would be important for those listening and watching to know about connecting and having good
stuff? I think we've covered quite a lot, and your show isn't long enough for me to go into too much more detail. But I think what I want is my hope is that down the road you can look back on this pandemic and say, this was a time when we rediscovered stuff about each other, when we had more time together and we used it wisely, and we reclaimed our sexuality and we saved our relationship. That's my hope for people. And I say, you know, may you find more love in the time of Corona.
Yeah.
That's my message.
Absolutely. I love it. That's an excellent, excellent, excellent message. And what the world needs now is more love. So, yeah.
Sure. Yeah. For sure.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for being here today and sharing your words of wisdom and your heart and helping couples out there to be able to, you know, come together and really appreciate one another. So I appreciate you for being here today.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you, Gloria, for hosting me. And it's been a really wonderful conversation to have with you. Thank you.
Thank you. And to all of you who are out there listening, I appreciate you as well. And for those watching on my YouTube channel, which if you want to be able to see the replay of this, you can go to youtube.com/ Gloria Rand Video, and you'll be able to find all the episodes, past episodes of the podcast there. And until we meet again, I encourage you, as always, to go out and live fully, love deeply, and engage authentically. Did you know that a majority of entrepreneurs tend to discount the importance of their work? And a good number feel their success is simply due to luck. I know from personal experience that self-doubt can keep you from having the kind of life and business you desire. That's why I've created a free guide called Uniquely You: How to Move from Self-Doubt to Self-Love in 4 Simple Steps. To claim your free guide, go to liveloveengage.gift. That's liveloveengage.gift.